Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, July 29, 2021. Some former elected lawmakers are appealing to President Salva Kiir to appoint them in the new parliament.
The president of the republic himself, Salva Kiir Mayardit, he declared and he made it an order that any elected member should not be tampered with. It's not to be dismissed from the assembly. Only those members who are appointed.
And Sudan receives more refugees from Ethiopia.
Abdul Ghani says it's challenging because of the previous disputes between the two ethnic groups, with the Amharic group supporting the federal government of Ethiopia in its war against the Tigrayan people.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Sudan say at least 300,000 Ethiopian refugees fled into Sudan this week after the war in Ethiopia's Tigray region spread to neighboring Amhara region. For VOA News, Naba Muhyiddin speaks to a refugee camp director and a political analyst about the significance of the influx. In this report from Khartoum,
Sudanese authorities reported thousands of Ethiopian refugees crossing the border this week. In a phone interview with VOA, the head of Al-Gadarif Emergency Committee handling refugee camps, Al-Fatih Mugaddam, said the registered number of the new asylum seekers is 1,058. Mugaddam says the camps will struggle to absorb so many refugees, and he asked the Sudanese government and aid groups to quickly intervene. The majority of the new refugees fled from Ethiopia's Amharic region, bordering war-torn Tigray and the conflicted Al-Fashaga region between Sudan and Ethiopia. The war erupted in Ethiopia last November between the federal government in Ethiopia and the Tigray People's Liberation Front, after Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed accused Tigrayan troops of attacking federal military camps. The war in Ethiopia has caused a devastating humanitarian crisis, mostly in the Tigray region. Humanitarian aid agencies like the United Nations World Food Programme, WFP, say more than 5 million people in the Tigray region are in urgent need of food aid. About 60,000 Ethiopians have fled to Sudan and are camping in the eastern cities bordering Ethiopia. Sudanese analysts like Ahmed Abdul Ghani warn the influx from the Amhara region might lead to tensions between Amharans and Tigrayans in the camps. Abdul Ghani says it's challenging because of the previous disputes between the two ethnic groups, with the Amharic group supporting the federal government of Ethiopia in its war against the Tigrayan people. He adds that receiving the new refugees in the same camps may cost Sudan a lot if the government didn't conduct security procedures to avoid any breakdown between the battling groups. The conflict in the Tigray region has worsened the already troubled relationship between Sudan and Ethiopia. The countries have engaged in a years-long dispute about Ethiopia's massive hydroelectric Gerd Dam, which Sudan and Egypt fear will cut off their access to adequate water from the Nile River. The Ethiopia government announced updated plans Tuesday for electricity generation from the dam after the second phase filling of the dam ended this month. Naba Muhyiddin for VOA News, Khartoum, Sudan.
Some former lawmakers in South Sudan who were dropped when President Salva Kiir reconstituted the parliament are appealing to the president to reinstate them before lawmakers are sworn in next week. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Henry Stephen Dunga, a former MP representing Yei County in the National Legislative Assembly, was removed from parliament to make room for other lawmakers representing various political parties. Dunga says after President Kiir dissolved parliament and later reconstituted it in May, he and other lawmakers were dropped. But then July 2nd, some of the lawmakers were reappointed. 3 days later, he says another decree was issued revoking only his appointment without explanation.
I found myself singled out. This is where I felt really annoyed. I was very annoyed. I said, okay, let them tell me my mistake. If at all I had gone wrong somewhere, they should tell me where they threw the party. And after all, I'm no longer in the army. Number two, I respected all my colleagues, all my bosses, everyone. And I've never broken any law. I'm not like any of those people who run to rebels and come back and so on. This is not my behavior. Then again, the president of the republic himself, Salva Kiir Mayardit, he declared and he made it an order that any elected member should not be tampered with. It's not to be dismissed from the assembly. Only those members who are appointed.
Danga wrote a letter of complaint to the Secretary of Political Affairs in the SPLM party, who checked the names of SPLM lawmakers and found that his name was on the list. He says the secretary told him there are a number of people from other states with the same complaint and that he would write a cover letter on top of Danga's written complaint and forward them to the president's office. Danga says he wrote a separate complaint letter to President Kiir's office and is waiting feedback. He says it doesn't make sense that he should be excluded from the reconstituted parliament as he was elected in 2010.
To be pensioned or I'm dismissed and I'm told the reason, I would willingly accept. But I'm trying my best to go back because it is not my will. My people voted for me in 2010 general elections. Overwhelmingly, I won the elections tremendously. I got 35,000 votes. My second candidate who followed me got 4,500.
Danga says his term in office is supposed to end when the next election is held, which is scheduled to take place in 2023 per the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement. Galwak Pechdak was a lawmaker in the Unity State Legislative Assembly, elected in 2010, but was appointed to the National Parliament this year following the death of a national lawmaker who represented his area. He says he was surprised to learn he too was dropped from the list of MPs when the president reconstituted parliament in June.
If our constituency is not represented in the National Assembly, and the same community are the one who told me to represent them, and now that it has happened, my name is revoked, and there is nobody from the same community. This is the question I ask. What do we need to know? If there comes any time of any election, will SPLM still go to that community looking for a vote from them? This is the question that I think. In Unity State, there is an unfair allocation of seats.
Dak is asking President Kiir to reappoint him, saying he believes his dismissal was politically motivated.
Let the president look into the issue of having their competency, and he should also look into the issue of representing these previous defense of the league in the national government, in the state government. Because in the SPLM, we're not represented. All our share, the 5 seats, we belong to the government. Are in the north. We look into these issues should be handled amicably for the future presentation, because if we can decide not to accept any marginalization, that one will not be good for the country.
Deng Mading, the acting SPLM Information Secretary and party spokesperson, says the list of SPLM legislators has already been corrected and that those who were elected in 2010 and omitted earlier by mistake have been reinstated. When asked about Danga and Dak, Mading said they were once SPLM but have since left the party.
Okay. People who defected, they have defected to other opposition parties, so they are not our people anymore.
According to the National Election Act 2009, a legislator's term of office is 5 years, but in 2018, the parliament amended extended the term of office for President Kiir, the vice presidents, and all members of parliament for another 3 years. On Wednesday, Makuch Makuch Ngong, the clerk of the assembly, released a statement announcing the swearing-in of all legislators that will take place tomorrow. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Some South Sudanese women say the COVID-19 pandemic has compromised healthcare system across the country in areas of reproductive health. The United Nations Population Fund Deputy Country Representative for South Sudan says statistics show there are high rates of unprotected sex and poor access to sexual reproductive health services, including family planning and HIV prevention. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Chris Oyepo, the United Nations Population Fund, or the UNFPA Deputy Country Representative for South Sudan, says COVID-19 has exacerbated gender-based inequalities and gender-based violence, which becomes more evident during times of lockdowns and movement restriction. Oyepo says South Sudan adolescent girls, especially those living in internally displaced camps, are vulnerable to gender-based violence during the pandemic. He says the number of women and girls with access to reproductive health services is still extremely low across the country.
South Sudan was already challenged before the pandemic in terms of sexual and reproductive health services. In fact, if we look at the statistics, we find out that skilled attendance at birth was about 14.7%. Family planning use in terms of what we call contraceptive prevalence rate was already as low as 4.7%, with only 1.7 using mother contraceptives. In terms of adolescents' access to reproductive health services, we find that access to information and service has always been very poor.
Oyepo says COVID-19 restrictions have made it all that much harder for women and girls to access reproductive health services. He says COVID-19 has affected funding for reproductive health service because all focus and support is being directed to fighting the pandemic.
It also shifted reasonably some of the funding that we have. We worked with our donors to enable us to further integrate family planning services into our COVID response. Family planning services, SRH services, are essential services themselves. So as we are discussing services for COVID response, SRH services and family planning are also essential services. So we integrated the services into, and that really helped us a lot.
Oyepo was speaking as South Sudan commemorated World Population Day recently. World Population Day is observed on 11th July annually to focus on emerging issues that impact the world's population and mobilize support to address the issues. 21-year-old Josephine Kiden, who has hearing impairment, says long before the outbreak of COVID-19 in South Sudan, people like her were neglected in communities. Speaking through interpreter, Kiden says a person with a hearing impairment faces challenges when trying to access reproductive health services in primary health care facilities across the country. She says whenever visually and hearing impaired people visit health centers, there are no interpreters available so that doctor can understand what the disabled person wants. Kiden says COVID-19 has negatively impacted impaired people because they do not know about reproductive health care, which she said is why many impaired girls become victims of early pregnancy and sexual diseases.
During the time of menstruation, she didn't know how to how to get the pad and all that. And the same time, most of the girls who are deaf, in case they don't know that the safe days and the days which are dangerous during time of sex. And the same time, really, they don't know how to use condom. That's why they end up actually getting HIV, getting infected, because they don't know how to protect themselves.
Oyepo encourages South Sudanese officials to ensure that policies will be put in place to ensure that the rights of the hearing and visually impaired will be upheld. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, who is entitled to land rights in your country? That story is coming up right after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you correct friends and loved ones?
I tell them the truth, because when I hide it, sometimes I have to tell them again and explain, which is not so fun. Yeah, it's easier for everyone.
You tell him what you have done is wrong. Next time, don't do like this, according to what he has done.
The first step I do actually is that I talk to the person. I sit back a little bit to be able to ascertain if it really went down with the person. To give the person a breathing space, just to ponder about whatever I said. And in the course of time, to allow process to have its way.
When they go wrong, I call them aside and talk to them. I tell them their behavior is very bad, so they need to stay away from it. And some of them get angry, but I don't care.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, says addressing gender gap in resource management is one way to help prevent conflict in the Horn of Africa. Ministers from IGAD met yesterday in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, to discuss how to address gender inequalities and increase women's access to land. For VOA News, Ruben Chama reports from Nairobi.
Esther Bet is a small-scale dairy and tea farmer from Kenya's western county of Uasin Gishu. In a passionate plea, she talks about the tribulations that women small-order farmers face, including the struggle to farm land that they do not have secure access to.
Women work 80% of the lands in sub-Saharan Africa. They provide 75% of the labor. They produce the food. They take care of the land, but very little of that land that they take care to produce food is owned by those women.
Unequal access to land and property is a major obstacle in many African countries. IGAD member states, which include Djibouti, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Kenya, Somalia, South Sudan, Sudan and Uganda, are stepping up efforts to ensure equal rights for women. Farida Karone is Kenya's Cabinet Secretary for Lands and Physical Planning.
In Kenya, we are beginning to ask, what can we do? What more can we do? Because our constitution is one of the most progressive constitutions in the world, not just in our continent. Yet, the percentage of women that own land in Kenya is probably about 2%. And that is why, as a country, we are currently trying to digitalize our transactions so that it will be easier to access data. So we really need to reflect.
In Africa, women are more harshly affected by land tenure insecurity due to discriminatory laws and practices, as the Kenyan lands minister explains.
It's not for lack of policy that we are struggling as a continent. So we must begin to ask the deeper questions. In our country, we have a law to document those rights. We have only just started the process of implementation. And we have found it very complex, because when you go to the communities, the men in our communities begin to want to claim more space than they should. And we include women in the community land management committees. But they still have to fight for that space, even though we have written it in our law.
Yesterday, the IGAD ministers endorsed the Regional Women's Land Rights Agenda, a framework document to enable the IGAD secretariat to provide the necessary support to member countries in implementing gender and land projects for the next 10 years. Aya Libo Warile is South Sudan's Minister for Gender, Child and Social Welfare.
When women are not meaningfully involved in governance, their interests are usually ignored, and their rights to land and resources can be weakened or lost. Although South Sudan has signed and adopted some of the major international and regional legal frameworks on the protection of women's land and property rights, are yet to be ratified.
Bet says IGAD's bold move will help empower millions of women.
I think it's the best thing that can happen to women. Women are able to inherit land in Kenya only if they are married. So if you're married, the land that your husband owns is your right. So if your husband passes away, you have a right to inherit that land. But women still face a lot of challenges in terms of the customary and traditional laws, where the in-laws and the family members of the husband sometimes deny the women the ownership of that land and actually transfer the land and deny her the rights to do what she's able to do on the land.
The African Union has called for individual member states to cooperate at regional levels to address land issues and challenges through people-driven reforms in which women's rights to land are ingrained. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
From Nairobi, we move to neighboring Tanzania. Tanzanian President Samia Suluhu Hassan got vaccinated Wednesday to kick off the country's first coronavirus vaccination campaign. President Suluhu Hassan has accepted a U.S. donation of 1 million vaccine doses. Her predecessor, the late John Magufuli, claimed vaccines were dangerous and that prayers had saved Tanzanians from the pandemic. For VOA News, Charles Kombe reports from Dar es Salaam.
In a televised event held at the State House Wednesday, Tanzania's President Samia Hassan launched the country's vaccination campaign against COVID-19 by receiving her first shot of Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The Prime Minister, Chief Justice and other top officials also got their shots. The event marks a break with the late President John Magufuli, who dismissed vaccines and said God had protected Tanzania from the coronavirus. Speaking before receiving the vaccine, Hassan said it is safe and that those who are willing to get it have nothing to worry about. The president said she would not risk her life or put herself in danger while knowing that she has so many responsibilities awaiting her. She said she is also a mother, grandmother, and wife, and that as the president, she must show this to the masses who are behind her. Tanzania's Health Minister Dorothy Gwajima urged leaders to encourage people to get vaccinated. I'm asking all our religious leaders, political leaders, and other leaders from each area in Tanzania to receive this vaccination. Encourage and educate others that this vaccine is a modern weapon to slow down COVID-19 and eradicates it completely as other diseases. Tanzanian citizens seem to have welcomed the campaign. Ibrahim Maximilian is a Dar es Salaam resident.
Ameonyesha jinsi gani ambavyo pengine tofauti na vile ambavyo hofu ipo.
He says the way the fear is presented, not only in Tanzania but also in the whole world, fear that these vaccines are not safe. Maximilian asked that if the president has dared on the front line to do that, he has shown that the vaccine is safe. James Tumaini, a Morogoro resident, speaking via a messaging app, said that he believes that the vaccine is safe.
Lakini pia wapo wengi ambao wamepatiwa chanjo hii na bado hawajaripoti kupatwa na madhara yoyote.
Tumaini says there are many people who have received the vaccine and reported to have not faced any negative effects. On my side, I'm ready to get vaccinated, and I urge my fellow Tanzanians to also accept it since it has met the criteria of the World Health Organization. In a Twitter message Wednesday, the U.S. Ambassador to Tanzania, Donald J. Wright, termed the President's act as a historic moment that hopeful marks the turning of a tide against the COVID-19 pandemic in Tanzania. According to the Ministry of Health, procedures and centers for the vaccination will be announced soon. But the ministry has already said priority groups will include healthcare workers, hotel workers, employees of foreign embassies and international travelers, such as pilgrims to Mecca. Charles Kombe for VOA News, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
There continued to be a big jam of goods and freight at South Africa's port after a cyber attack last week paralyzed the IT system of Transnet, the state-owned company that manages the country's container terminals. Although the government says operations are getting back to normal, the incident has resulted in losses of billions of rands to an economy already battered by recent violence and the COVID-19 pandemic. For VOA News, Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
Transnet's calling the cyber attack sabotage, which it says is being intensively investigated. It won't say more, but several IT security experts have told VOA the company could be the victim of a ransomware attack which locks computer operating systems. The criminals unlock them only when a ransom's paid. Dennis Hobson, a logistics expert at the Investec Financial Group, says few importers have access to their containers that have piled up at the ports over the past week. Consequently, he adds, South Africa's going to experience shortages of various items, including foodstuffs such as rice, for months.
From an export point of view, backlogs start to build up with exports not being loaded onto vessels and departing for the various destinations around the world.
The crisis at the harbours is happening during peak season for South Africa's citrus fruit industry, the second largest in the world. The Citrus Growers Association says fruit's still stuck in cold stores and warehouses. Hobson says the problem's far from solved.
There could be catastrophic congestion that actually forces shipping lines to start diverting their vessels away from South African ports. We've already seen a few instances recently.
That congestion has happened.
The whole supply chain essentially gets broken. There are far-reaching consequences when these type of disruptions take place within the supply chain, considering that supply chains have been heavily disrupted for the past 12 to 18 months due to knock-on effects of the global shipping crisis.
That, Hobson explains, was sparked by the COVID-19 pandemic and the worldwide lockdowns that caused shipping to come to a near standstill last year. Many goods are already missing from South African shelves as a result of the recent looting at Durban, sub-Saharan Africa's busiest port. The harbour and warehouses were plundered, cargo was stolen, damaged, or not delivered because of the violence. Hobson says the fallout from the cyber attack will worsen an already terrible situation.
There will be a likelihood of shortage of stock on shelves. With a shortage of stock, there's going to come cash flow issues due to lost sales, cash flow cycles coming under severe pressure. It might also force some importers to consider having to air freight in critical stock just to meet the demand.
He says the damage to the economy will be felt long after Transnet's IT systems are back up and running. He refers to steel imports, which haven't reached factories because of the crisis.
In the automotive sector, you could have production line stops, which will also be catastrophic, both from job loss as well as backlogs of vehicles being manufactured.
IT experts expect South African state companies to suffer more cyber attacks in the near future because they say they're not geared to prevent them. Hobson's urging the government to partner with the private logistics sector so that if state systems crash, the private entities can step in to help avert economic tragedy. For VOA News, I am Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. Let us know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We now leave you with Manyang Ading with the song Salam.
Darin salam, kujanga wido redil. Darin salam, kujanga wido redil. Darin salam, kunara wido redil. Darin salam, kujanga wido redil. Salam alaikum na twish mayadi. Deku salam yeah. Salam alaikum denka biay. Deku salam. Aji mi ali loing udar jeje loing. Aji mi ali loing udar jeje loing. Aji mi ali loing udar jeje loing. Abi mi ali loing udar jeje loing. Punga girdi agongo mona kyan. Tongo mi the tigu bay kim go kunywo. Punga girdi agongo mona kyan. Tongo mi the tigu kim go kunywo. Kajaru ti jo ba odi. Punga girdi jo ba oya. Radio maya dirga wati jo bangwal jo ba ben.
We have been listening to Manyang Ading with the song Salam. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Wala rob jo baga be radio maya dir gawati jo bangwal jo baga ban ni de gi
Radio Maya di ga wa di je bin na mi jo ba o de biem nam a lo re jo.